Hello, hello. Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno, here with my co-host and friend, Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay, Kendall. And we're excited to have a great guest today. And
who is it, Lillian?
His name is, he's in the State House for Texas. His name is Ray Lopez, and it's from House District. Can't remember.
So bad with the numbers. I didn't remember Calarico's last
you
week.
Know, ever since we're out of that studio, we have no map. Oh, I'm still having my, been 11 months in COVID land. So let's just figure out.
But it's over. And it is District 125.
125.
He's been 125th.
125th. The fighting 125th. And we're excited to have, Representative Lopez on and get him to talk about what's going on in the Texas House. But what have you been doing all week, Kendall?
I've just been working my ass off, Lillian. All these municipal races are just kind of killing me. I'm underwater. I'm drowning. I'm doing my best. Hopefully, we'll be able to start plugging some of these people soon. But, I mean, it's just quite an ordeal.
You know, races, we just got, what, less than 40, about 50 days left, right?
The real short campaign span. Have you ever been involved in a municipal race before?
Remember, my brother ran in 2007 when they were trying to kick all the Hispanics out in Farmers Branch. And so that was he lost, but he's a great guy, as you know, and would have been a great city council person. But
and just for the record, your brother was wanting to not kick all the Mexicans out, correct?
That's correct. That was when some whippersnapper over there cost the city of Farmers Branch, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million, because he thought it was a good idea to ask all folks to give up their social security numbers in housing and everything in order to try to lock down on people that were here working and raising their families. And so the kids stopped going to school, city sort of shut down, and this little really terrible guy. I know his first name was Tim. I don't remember anymore. It's like a blackout. But my brother's a software engineer. Well, actually, an aerospace engineer. And like, he just like raised. He was in a room and someone said, "Somebody's got to run." I am. And he was a great candidate, but lost. So that was it. That's the last one.
I don't enjoy nonpartisan races like these municipals, the city races and the school board races. I know how they're so important. They really are. And that's why
they are.
Yeah. They are my least favorite.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I never had that bug. Like when I was raising my kids, I sat on a couple of like councils because I had, you know, Hispanic daughters, and I was like at a school where I was the gringa and was on like the what books to pick out and everything. And somebody approached me way back before I really did much in Democratic politics about being on the school board and everything. I just remember like my feeling was, oh, that sounds terrible. Like, that's what I felt. But that was back in the, you know, 2003 or something, but or 2005 maybe. And I just, it never appealed to me. But now when I watch how great quality candidates that you've been having and introducing me to, I'm always like, yeah, we got to start somewhere. Let's run these folks.
We got some really good ones. I'm sure we'll have some of them on the show in the next few weeks to try to plug some of these municipal candidates that are working their tail ends off. But I tell you, don't like it. I don't like them. I like to know who my friends are. And in partisan races, I know who my friends are.
Yeah. But I mean, really, is someone with your values, there's not somebody who's going to be like anti-children that's running for school board that asks you to help them with their campaign, correct?
Right.
So you sort of are a buffer of your own.
Yeah. I mean, like, it for sure. I just want the municipals to get done with. I don't particularly like them, but we have such good candidates running in these races that are super important. So anyways, that's all I've been doing. What have you been doing?
I have been working out on COVID stuff and really happy about the American Rescue Plan that was just signed by Joe Biden less than, you know, an hour ago, and excited about, you know, folks getting some money, man. Some people out there, there's a lot of people that just are 6 months behind on rent, and their families have been, you know, staying at home, and they're having so much trouble. I mean, there's some world of hurt going on in there, out there. And I'm just embarrassed that the Republicans didn't feel it okay to go ahead and just sign off on helping American families. I just don't get it.
Well, let's go ahead and segue to talk about that. What is in this American Rescue Plan? Which, by the way, before we start that.
Do you like the name?
Sure, I'm fine with the name, whatever. But I will point out that the last two Democratic presidents did have to start their administrations with both a rescue plan and a recovery plan. So maybe that should tell you something about Republican presidents that were their predecessors. But well, let's talk a little bit about what was in this rescue plan that just got signed by President Biden.
Well, it is, first of all, I think we should all be really proud of it. I think it was a ton of work to put something like that together and get it pushed through with just on the Republican side. I mean, not even a discussion. And it always makes you think, you know, why do we even try? You know, when I was with the Obama administration, it was always this idea, let's try. But at the end of the day, they are going to play on their side, period. They will not. We keep doing it.
Every Democrat voted for Donald Trump's recovery plan, rescue plan, and
sure did.
A single Republican voted for the Democrat plan. I mean, like, it just doesn't, they will, it, which by the way, is has an approval rating in the American public of 70%. And they literally will not meet anyone in the middle and try to, like, there was not a single Republican that was like, you know what? I'm going to set politics aside and try to help our country in the middle of an international pandemic now that we have a president who's actually trying to dig us out of it.
Yeah. So what it has a lot of, $1.9 trillion, I think, and provides direct relief of $1,400 checks to many, many people, to families. It's incredible. It actually has tax credits that help, you know, people with kids. It has a whole plan about safely reopening schools. It takes COVID and testing on COVID and providing vaccinations to a whole new level as far as funding. Gives a ton of money to states and cities. All of a sudden, I don't know, I read one piece like the state of Kentucky, I don't know their budget. I don't really even know Texas's budget when I think about it. But for a state like Kentucky, when I was with the USDA, we used to give them somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion just out of the USDA budget for rural development, which they would always tell us, please don't tell me that you're giving that money because we're Republicans here. But when you think about this kind of money, I think it was somewhere in the maybe almost $3 billion straight to the state of Kentucky.
It's just what they do. I mean, there was a thread I was seeing online yesterday where there were Republican senators that were posting on their Facebook pages and bragging about all the money that's going to get to their state through this American recovery plan, the one that you voted against and have not met anyone on the table, but you're going to go ahead and brag about all the money you just got for your state. Awesome.
Yeah. So checks, people, enhanced unemployment, healthcare expansion, lots of resources for vaccinations and protection from COVID, tracking for COVID. It's a very big deal for people. And I think families are going to really gets the relief. And I think it cuts child poverty in half, like on day one somehow.
I think it's important also to note that 100% of this goes to individuals that are in this bottom 60th percentile in wealth. Whereas with the Donald Trump tax cuts that happened, that was his only big signature achievement. That was also $1.9 trillion. It went exactly lopsided to the top 1% and less than 1%. And so this is exactly what it looks like when you elect Democrats, you help working people. When you elect Republicans, you help a bunch of fat cat rich folks.
Yeah. You can't have a society where you have this kind of income inequality and expect things to be okay, because they're not.
It used to be like this, man.
It didn't used to be like this.
I mean, like, we need a healthy Republican Party, and they're just not there. They're not coming through for us. Right now, they're more focused on Dr. Seuss and stopping people from voting instead of, like, I don't know, adapting your point of view so that more people will want to vote for you. Like, how about not opposing something that has a 70% approval rating to rescue people from a pandemic? Like, maybe that'll help you get elected instead of trying to strip people's rights to vote away.
I guess, you know, I guess they just want that talking point that says, you know, the Democrats drove us into X when they run 2 years from now or 4 years from now. And I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, the second time we've rescued this place.
I had a fight with somebody the other day
was not physical fight, right? Twitter fight.
Almost was physical. No. They were arguing about like the DC statehood bill that's up right now. I don't understand why the Democrats stop at DC. All territories should just turn them into states. And there's no like rationale behind why they shouldn't be. Like you ask somebody why, they're gonna be like, well, it's gonna make the flag look different.
No, what the code on that one is, that's DC's 90% African American. That'll make it look different.
And Puerto Rico will make it look different. And Guam will make it look different. And American Samoa will make it look different. And Northern Mariana Islands will make it look different.
Less white is what they're really saying. Less white. I mean,
but like, there's no reason that American citizens should be taxed without, literally taxation without representation. They have no senators, no members of Congress.
I know. I mean.
So why stop at DC? Why didn't they just put out a bill that says we don't have territories anymore? They're now states.
Well, yeah. I mean, one thing that is so, I think, needs to just big shout out is, boy, this couldn't have happened without the great work that people did in Georgia, bringing those two Senate seats home. This thing would have been tanked. I mean, think about it. For the grace of God and Stacey Abrams, this thing came home. This
is something. And so if you're an organizer out there, remember the impact that Stacey Abrams just had on the entire future of America. Like,
one person makes a difference, and all those organizers and all those organizations that helped out in Georgia during a very rough time. We thank you, and families thank you. Really, really big shout out. What's going on in Texas? I heard your man, Matthew McConaughey, is thinking about running for governor.
Is that my man? How has that ever been? I don't even like the guy.
You don't like the guy because he's blonde and good looking and
the guy because he seems like he's dumber than a sack of bricks. I've never gotten the appeal. I understood that he was in a Cadillac commercial once. I don't know much about the guy.
Not Cadillac, Lincoln. So.
Whatever. I don't know much about the guy, and I'm pretty unimpressed anytime I've seen him speak or. So go for it, Matthew.
All right. I guess you're not going to ask him to be on the show. Is that what you're saying?
I'd love for him to be on the show. It'll boost our ratings and like prove me wrong. Show me you have some substance, Matthew McConaughey. But I hear he's running as a Republican.
What?
I hear he's talking about primarying Abbott, not running as a Democrat.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wow.
But people don't know. They're all speculating because like nobody knows what party he's in because he's not a politically active person who's just a famous person that decided to run for governor one day.
Oh, we need more of those. More.
You and I had a full discussion about this yesterday where I literally said, I'll vote for Abbott before I vote for him. And then as I started thinking about it, I was like, no, that's not an accurate statement. I would not vote for Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott, who as of yesterday in our great state of Texas, just said, to hell with the mass. And I told you what happened. I was driving out to the farm and in Pilot Point, Texas, which is a great place, I saw this big gorilla. I thought it was like one of those blow up gorillas, but it wasn't. It was a full on statue gorilla, large, like 18 feet. So of course I had to stop and find out what it was doing there, how it happened. It was some resale shop. This has just happened. I just stopped. I went in and I'm like, what's with this gorilla? And I had my mask on. He goes, no mask here.
You're not allowed.
No mask. You're in Pilot Point now. No mask here. And then I'm like, how much for that gorilla? $8,000. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's but I felt it. It was a pretty solid gorilla from a like huge, he said he bought it from a circus.
Good.
That'd be Texas. No mask here, lady. Get your mask, you liberal piece of shit. Get out of here.
I don't know. We've already understood that. I think you were telling me it was an actual gorilla, and I started. I was like, wait, there's like a real gorilla?
No, it's like a not paper mache, but like a serious like what would be at an amusement park gorilla. There was also a shark.
Why don't you get that to the farm? Don't you need an 18-foot?
I don't need. No, I'm not gonna spend $8,000 on a gorilla. And I don't want a live gorilla, but when I talk, I mean, it was stunning that no one else noticed this. And so I have a friend in Pilot Point. I had to take a picture and send to her and tell her, had you not told me about this? I never saw it. I grew up in Pilot Point. I never saw there was a gorilla. Anyway, this guy was fun. He was so country and good and all the things we love about Texas, and completely hated the fact that I had a mask on and asked me to take it off.
Everything I love about Texas, by the way.
But well, I know, but some of it's fun.
There, it's just been kind of a slow news day, so I think we should spare everyone. And
Hey.
Lopez will be featured next in the second half. You may not know much about Ray Lopez. We've never interacted with him in person before, so we're going to be kind of meeting him face-to-face for the first time, and it'll be a ton of fun. What would you like to find out from Ray?
Well, what his priorities are and how this legislative session's going, and what kind of impact this new money is going to have on working families in Texas, and how he's going to make sure that the people that need the help are getting it. That's my
question. He's actually a longtime public servant. He was on the school board for a long time, city council for a while. So he's like someone that's been, he's got some real policy chops. So anyway, so stick around. After this break, we will have State Representative Ray Lopez from the Fightin' 125th.
Which is where?
San Antonio.
So,
stick around.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. We're so honored to have with us this afternoon Representative Ray Lopez from the Fighting
125.
The Fighting 125.
Fighting 125 district, which is a California-shaped section of Texas that runs from but runs from San Antonio to where?
Colonus, Texas, a little town just north on north of 1604. Yeah, so I don't take in any Helotus, but of course, most of my Hispanic friends are going to holler at me for calling it Helotus. It's elotes. It's a elotes. Corn.
That's what I was going to say. Wonderful corn.
Leaving a bar drunk.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're so excited. You've got a, you know, wonderful history here in Texas as a public servant and a person of the community. And what year is this for you as a Texas legislator?
This is my second session. I actually got elected in a special election last year, right about this time. Justin Rodriguez was my predecessor. He got appointed to be county commissioner right before he took the oath here. So I jumped in. I got a phone call and said, "Hey, Justin's not vacating his spot." I said, "Are you interested?" And I said, "No, not really. I'm almost hung up on him because I really thought that it's not what I wanted to do." I had just off of 8 years on the city council, term limited out. Had what I felt a really good run. I was a full time city councilman. I retired right before I got onto council, and got an opportunity to do a lot of really, really cool stuff. And I know it can take it out of you. And I've never been one to kind of jump into things halfway. And I knew if I did this, I would probably be full speed ahead. And well, anyway, they convinced me. Didn't take long. And especially when my wife, after being home for a year and a half off of being off of council, and yeah, right.
She said, "Out of here."
Well, she tells it this way. And thank goodness you don't have her on this podcast. But she tells it this way, that the honey-do list she had given me had stopped moving. And the honey-do list I had for myself at my lake property was growing, and that was not going to cut it. As you can imagine, I was, you know, building a little fishing ramp and, you know, making sure my boat was in good shape so I could go take my grandkids fishing. I have 14 of them. And she said, "But you're not doing the fence and the thing and this and that and the other." So she said, "Why don't you just go ahead?" I say it joking, but it really was kind of a conversation like that. So you need something constructive to do again. And this is probably as good as any. And, like my friends told me, you'll never be able to get into a political race and not have to go through a primary. You're going to go through 1 month of a primary and 1 month probably a runoff. There were four Democrats and one Republican, and everybody just assumed the Republican would get his share and the Democrats would fight over, you know, the other portion of it. Then we probably would go into a runoff. And that's exactly the way it happened. I was fortunate enough this last time, this past November, I did have an opponent, but I won with 80% of the vote. So somehow or another, I got a feeling that maybe we've got a pretty positive formula. Either that or people are very, very desperate. And maybe we can talk about some of those desperate things that they're asking for. Someone can deliver, and I don't know. Some they just don't know.
That must be why you're so cheerful, because people that have to run in these battled elections usually aren't as cheerful as you are. I'm so happy that that went like that for you.
Yeah, I did.
Good news. How do people with 14 grandkids keep track of all of those birthdays?
A wife that is very, very attentive. No, you know, we have them scattered out all over the entire. I have a hard time remembering each one of them, and they've all gotten it. I call many of them by the wrong name, and I holler at them. And so what I've learned, as a good grandpa should be, I've got pet names for virtually all of them, you know, and so I the pet names I remember. Their names, I you know, I'm.
That's great. So tell us what's going on this session. What are you working on, and what seems to be getting people's attention, and what can our listeners do to help you?
Sure. Well, other than the obvious, right? The obvious right now, everybody's attention is around COVID, the immunizations, you know, making sure we've got enough of them to meet the demand. And then more importantly, to make sure that we're being able to get the, you know, the scheduling done. It's a logistics issue now. It looks like over the course of the last few days, we've gotten the volume of serum, of the volume of vaccines up. We continue to grow that in the very, very immediate last couple of days. But we've struggled. We struggled mightily with a good system to let people know, here's where you can call to get a you know, an appointment, and here's where you go get it. And so we're hopeful that we've gotten beyond all that. And so we're going to start deploying that. I was tickled to death to hear that finally we recognize that teachers are essential personnel. My goodness. I mean, how can you even make an argument that they're anything close to not being, right? They should be at the very, very top. But we finally have included them in the vaccine distribution and lowered it. Looks like we've lowered it to 50 years old. And I finally can get it. I passed that one a long time ago. But so I think that the priorities are beginning to get a little bit clearer. We're getting the vaccines coming in. And fortunately, we've got some direction at the federal level in supporting the states. I won't necessarily get into the fiasco that we were dealing with before, but basically it was a hands-off. Go, you're on your own. Go get it done. And it wasn't getting done. And so now we've got some direction. So I think we're going to head out of this in relatively faster order, but it's not fast enough. We're still losing so many that it's just, you know, amazes me that we couldn't get the level of attention that we needed. But I think we got it now. Hey, listen, man, that's like a gas tax. And I mean, that's like a sales tax, and it's regressive in nature. And we really don't like those things. And I go, like, I don't like them either. But look at it this way. The vast majority of my friends that live in Edgewood, many of them don't even own a car, much less pay the gas tax. What they need is a bus to get to work and back. They need that bus to be able to stop in front of their kid's school where they can get off and 15, 20 minutes later, catch another bus, continue the route home. They need to be able to get off the bus, go to the grocery store, and get on another bus to get on home. They need mass transit.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, if that's a part of Texas being so geographically partisan, like urban areas are so Democratic, rural areas are so Republican, that it's almost as if Republicans control the legislature, they just don't understand the transportation needs in urban areas. And I would say it's vice versa. When the Dems finally take over, probably won't have a very good grasp on what's happening in rural transportation needs. But at some point, the leadership on both sides are going to have to concede to the fact that, you know, your district's going to be different than mine and may have different needs. Are you feeling like the speaker, the new speaker, is receptive to Democrats in that regard, or is it kind of more of the same?
It's hard to say because we've not seen him in action very much. Remember, we're only meeting twice a week on the floor. And we're not having any level of debate. Everybody talks a good story. Everybody's saying we want to get along, do the kumbaya stuff, but we won't know that until we get to crunch time. Right now, it's been relatively slow. Bills are kind of percolating, and I've even gotten some of my bills. I laid one out yesterday, and do a couple more next week, and we're moving them through, but we're not having the depth of dialogue because we're pushing them through real quick. That dialogue is going to come on the floor.
Right.
And it's going to get bogged down. And our friends, if they truly are friends, our friends are going to be sticking all kinds of floor amendments on our bills to either A, force us to accept their version of it or their piece of it, or completely destroy the purpose of the bill that we're trying to move forward. That's where we're going to find out whether our friends on the other side of the aisle are really our friends. And the one that's going to be able to control that is going to be the speaker.
So TBD so is hearing.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Right now, I sit on county affairs and I sit on veterans affairs, and both are chaired by Democrats. But that's not where the big dollars are. Let's see what happens out coming out of calendars. Let's see what happens out of Ways and Means. Let's see when I lay out my 207 in Ways and Means again. We'll see. But right now we're still in the honeymoon, you know.
Well, everybody's being nice to each other.
Everybody's being nice. Oh yeah, no, I see them around. I don't stay in town. I mean, like right now I'm getting ready to go home. But I see them at dinner or something, and everybody's really nice. Hey, let's get together and have lunch and that kind of stuff and talk. But oftentimes, personally, everybody gets along, but at some point there are political ramifications. We do, believe certain philosophical approaches, different perspectives on philosophical approaches. We'll see how that shapes up.
Well, State Representative Ray Lopez, we really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come and join us here on Pod Bless Texas. If people wanted to follow you, your campaign, your office, where would they go in the interwebs to do that?
Well, Ray for Texas would be the best place to go. That's my website. And of course, they can always go to the state website, ray.lopez@texashouse.gov.
Okay.
I can never get it right. Yeah, so just go to the website. But those are the couple of websites. We're always available. And of course, folks can call our office. We do our best. Right now, the toughest thing to do, heck, is just to get into the office and get into the building, because you got to go get your little wristband and get your testing. But that's a good place to go get free testing. Come on in and visit us.
That's a daily test, correct?
Yeah. And then just, come on down to the office and schedule some time, and we'd love to sit and talk. Like everybody around here says, this is your office. And we all really mean it. I mean, come on in and have a dialogue. There's nothing like eye-to-eye contact. One, to know somebody's sincere, and the other one is to have a really good, meaningful discussion. That's why this stuff is not bad. It's pretty good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us today, but you don't get to leave yet, because before you go, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsessed! Obsessed, where each of us will talk about one news story from the week, or there's politics, or it wasn't, that we'd be completely obsessed with. And as always in this segment, we start with Lillian Salerno. Lillian, what's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
Well, lots of things, but I think I'm going to go again. I think I talked about Medicaid expansion before. Going to talk about it again. If there were ever an opportunity to talk about Medicaid expansion in the pandemic, where we literally have healthcare workers treating people they have no history of, they're not asking questions, we're trying to get vaccinated, this is it. We need it. I mean, those of us who have friends that are out there volunteering at these big centers, have healthcare workers in our family, just watching the numbers, come on, Texas, come on, let's just do this. I mean, the polls support it. The Episcopal Health Foundation just came out with their polling showing it's a overwhelmingly, the approval's overwhelming that everybody in Texas, even the Republicans, want it. So why are we doing it just to say that we're some good business community and we need to deny healthcare to millions of people? It just doesn't make any sense anymore. Let's get on with it.
Representative Lopez, do you think, Representative Larson came out in favor of Medicaid expansion, I guess about a month ago now. Do you think that having Republicans like that starting to come over, is that gonna make a difference this session, or are we just not gonna see it this session?
I think we'll get closer, and I think it is going to make a difference to have the dialogue. There's an awful lot of people talking about Medicaid expansion on the other side. We've always talked about it. We understand how important it is. But now we're beginning to get folks like Lyle and others to have that same level of interest in the discussion. So I think we'll move closer, and if we don't get it, I think it'll set it up for the next session. But we need it now. We needed it several sessions ago.
They're really just trying to figure out how to do it without admitting that they did it, aren't they?
How do I save face?
Can they just name it something else and we don't even have to talk about it? Let's just move on.
We'll name it after one of them. I don't care.
the Governor Abbott Dan Patrick free money bill.
Yeah, well, okay.
Good obsess, Lillian Salerno. Good obsess. Representative Ray Lopez of the Fightin' 125th. What's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
Well, I don't even have to tell you because I'm going to show you. Why in the world are people so reluctant in wearing these darn things?
You can cuss here.
It is the most asinine thing in the world that people are just not wearing these things. And to make them political in any way, how political are you when you put your seatbelt on? How political do you think it is whenever you put your kid's seatbelt on? It just makes so much sense to wear these things. And if you stop and look at some of the science, well, I'm sorry, our opponent, or the guys on the other side don't look at this very often. But if you were to look at the science, you'd find out that all virus, all contagious diseases, the flu is all, the numbers are way down this year. And it's because we've been doing this. Hey, guys, wake up, mask up, get your, well, I won't say where, I know that this is a good family show, so I won't go into that. That kind of stuff, but.
Don't ruin our reputation.
But messed up, Texas. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll never understand like these people who are like, you're living in fear by wearing a mask. Am I living in fear when I use a pot holder to pull something out of the oven? Like if something's unsafe and you take precaution to protect yourself, it doesn't mean you're living in fear.
That's right. That's right. Well, you're absolutely right. And they would prefer to live in ignorance. So, you know.
Thank you for saying that. It's so important with the March 10th. Now people ask you to take off your mask for some reason.
Well, good. That's a great obsess. And make sure you relay that message to the gorilla man you met in Pilot Point, Lillian. We talked about it at the beginning of the episode. Sorry.
I will personally deliver a mask. If they're wanting one, I've got plenty.
Yeah, he didn't really want one.
I obsessed this week. I'm a good Texan, I like to think. I have my moments, but I tend to think I'm a good Texan. And as a result, I tend to have a lifelong obsession with Buc-ee's, okay? And my obsess this week is that I read an article that Buc-ee's is opening up one of their shops in Daytona Beach, Florida this week.
Oh, really?
And they have already moved to Alabama. They have now moved to Florida. They are expanding rapidly. I remember when we used to like go on road trips to get to one of the two or three Buc-ee's in the state just to hang out in them. And so like the fact that they're expanding like that's kind of cool, I guess. I just hope it doesn't corrupt it. And I also am curious to go to one of them because I want to know if they have a bunch of Texas stuff there or if they create like a bunch of Alabama and Florida stuff that they sell there. Like, you know, there's all this merch that's like Texas merch. How exciting is Alabama merch? Surely Alabama people aren't going to buy all that stuff like Texans would. Anyways, I want to go to one of them just because I want to see how different it is. And so I've been obsessed with it this week. I can't believe how big Buc-ee's is getting. And I'm kind of excited that other people are going to be able to bask in the glory.
Well, that was something.
That was.
What would you sell in Florida as your merch? Gator or something, maybe? I don't know. I'm not a big Florida fan. I'm not a big Florida fan at all. They always screw up our election, so they're off my list.
Well, that's
good move. Good move.
I've been really obsessed with this week. And that was obsessed. Awesome. Thank you so much, State Representative Ray Lopez, for joining us today. We really appreciate you humoring us in our crazy antics.
Not at all. My pleasure. Look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thank you, Representative.
And Lillian, if people wanted to follow you, where could they go to do that?
Through Pod Bless Texas or on the Twitter machine at Lillian_Salerno.
Very cool. If people want to follow me, they can follow me on all the social medias at Kendall Scudder. Make sure you hit subscribe. You follow us. You do all the good stuff on social media. We're trying to rev up. Interact with us on that Instagram. I'm doing my best to learn it, people. and on behalf of myself, Lillian, and the entire Pod Bless Texas team, y'all have a blessed week.